Welcome to The Record here on KUOW. Seattle summer is firing on all cylinders now. Solstice yesterday, upper 80s, kids out of school. Now all we need is the music. Last year, Beyoncé dropped a song of the summer on Juneteenth. Beyonce going beyond the party with Black Parade a year ago. What is playing out of Seattle car windows this summer? What's playing at the beach? What's playing at festivals as we ease back to in-person togetherness? Let's talk and listen with my guests, guitarist Eva Walker with the great Seattle band The Blacktones. Eva, thanks a lot for coming on. Eva, can you hear me? I'm sure I'm going to hear you soon. We're twiddling the knobs as we musicians do. By the way, Eva hosts Audio Oasis on KEXP, co-hosts Video Bebop, a music video show on Seattle Channel with her twin brother, Cedric. Eva, are you there? Okay, let's see if Jeff Ramsey can hear me. Jeff owns Cafe Racer and Cafe Racer Radio. Jeff, are you hearing me okay? Okay, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just not hearing my guests.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, Eva, it's so nice to hear your voice. Welcome back to the show.
It's nice to hear yours. I was able to hear you, but I was like, oh no, he can't hear me back.
That's on us. We're just working out the pandemic remote work knob twisting. So thank you for coming, Eva. And Jeff Ramsey owns Cafe Racer and Cafe Racer Radio. Jeff, I hope you can hear me too.
I can, Bill. And, you know, the funny thing was, is I was yelling, like, somehow that, like, being louder would make you hear me.
I felt that. Yeah, I could feel it. It was just coming through kind of garbled. Okay, so listen, let's talk music. I guess I got to start, Eva, with what, is summer music a thing for you, Eva? Do you want to hear something in the summertime?
Yeah, I mean, sure. But it's usually some of the same of my year-round stuff, you know? It doesn't differ that much. Because it's I like what I like. Sometimes it's seasonal, but most of the time it's usually all the time.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Jeff? Does it have to do with the sunshine and the cruising?
For me, yeah, it's definitely a little bit of that. I mean, when the sun comes out, I notice that my musical tastes change a little bit. And I, I get out of the winter ambient lo-fi stuff and I get into a little bit more poppy and sunshiny, happy stuff.
Let's get into some music. I'll each of you give me a title. You sent some of the songs. I've got some of them racked up. So Eva, what's saying summer to you now? Even if you'd listen to it all year long, what are you listening to this summer?
Well, I listen to it year round, but I definitely listen to it in the summer. It's Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. My favorite album is Whipped Cream Miller Delights. I really like the song Green Onions, but every song on there is perfect.
Yeah, I think I've got it right here.
Ah.
Okay.
Love it.
I love that you picked something from at least my era. I mean, I was a little young for it in that Herb Alpert was a throwback when I was young. You know what I'm saying? It was like,
yeah.
But it still works.
Oh, he's incredible.
Yeah. How about you, Jeff? What's summer to you right now or always?
Well, you know, there was so much good music coming out of the pandemic in Seattle. And so I just had to pick some stuff from Seattle that I really liked.
Yeah.
And one of my new favorites is a band called Wilderness Car Wash. It is Joel Mars from Afterlife Gift Shop, and it's his solo project. Wilderness Car Wash and Aftershocks is probably my favorite track off his new record.
Yeah, here we go.
I dream of earthquakes and sometimes the whole room shakes. I hear you crying. They used to tell me you should stand in the door frame. My father was a fait accompli.
Is that, Jeff, is that typical Wilderness Car Wash?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that one's a little, that's a little more poppy than some of the other stuff, but mm-hmm. yeah, that's-
I like that.
Sound. Yeah, it's a great sound. I really, and I like his timing on his instrumentation, and it's got like three or four different guitars that come in throughout the song. It's a great song. It's a solid song.
What's going on with you each in the summertime? I mean, Eva, as a performer at, you know, I won't say the top of your game because I know you're still rising, but you're just, you know, you're just one of the great Seattle bands, and then the pandemic hits and we can't come out and see you. What's going on now with you and recording and performing?
Well, definitely there's been some recording happening, but we have now a list of shows for the summer. We are very booked. I'm very happy about that. But because of last year, I won't believe it until I'm on the stage about to play. Then I'll know it's real.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Jeff? What's going on with you and music in the summer of 2021?
Well, full disclosure, we did try to get the Black Tones for our grand opening, but Cafe Racer is, they're too busy. The grand opening of Cafe Racer, the reopening in the old Barca space on Capitol Hill is opening September 10th. So we are spending our summer swinging hammers and painting walls and doing all the stuff to get the space ready.
Cool. Let's listen to some more music. Eva, what else did you bring us?
I brought you Zazu BK and the song Nostalgia. I just discovered that one late last year or earlier this year. I can't remember. Love the tune.
Yeah, Eva, will you tell us more about Zazu? Is it Bikaye?
You know, I've probably been saying it wrong. I've been saying Bikaye, but Bikaye, that sounds closer. Okay. I just discovered this artist going down like what I call a YouTube wormhole and uh-huh. found some songs from them and just fell in love with this group. And they had re-released some music on an album that was just released. I can't remember if it was last year or this year, but these songs are, I believe, are from the 80s or something like that.
Oh, from the 80s. Have you found, by the way, that summer music, like what the summer song is, you know, the 80s was hot. The 80s was kids out of school. Is it timeless, or do you find the song of summer has come to mean something different, Jeff?
I think, you know, coming out of the pandemic, it's interesting. I was talking to Sarah earlier, and we were talking about how, was there a song of summer last year? I know it was Beyonce, but we didn't really feel like we had a summer, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. This summer definitely feels more like we're probably going to have half a dozen songs of the summer this year because we're so ravenous. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the summer song is still a thing. Just like, you know, there's always going to be a holiday song. Right? There's going to be that one holiday track that comes out that kind of becomes the favorite. I think the summer will always have that for us. Something that celebrates togetherness and being in the sun and seeing friends, you know, it's, yeah.
Right. For me, because I've got the luxury of having a 14-year-old, I just kind of let whatever she's listening to waft through. So like last year I was classy bougie ratchet, and then, you know, and then it'll be something else from her. What about you, Eva? Do you think a song's a summer change?
You know, it really just depends. For myself, honestly, it's just what song complements the environment that I'm in right now. That's complementing the sunshine. That's complementing the view of the mountains I have or wherever. You know, mm-hmm. and so sometimes that doesn't change. Again, Herb Alpert is always my go-to usually. And actually the local band Warren Dunes has some songs that have become my most recent go-to as well. They do change, I'm sure, for people, but for me, it's just yes and no.
Yeah. Let me hit the Warren Dunes song that you sent, and then you can tell me a little more about that if you would. Eva, tell me about Warren Dunes, please.
Warren Dunes is an incredible local band based here out of Seattle, a family band. Julia Massey fronts it. She had a band called Julia Massey and the Five Finger Discount. And this is a project she did with a combination of the Jesus Rehab, which is her husband's band, and her brother-in-law, their brothers. And so they created Warren Dunes, and Warren Dunes is where her husband and the brother-in-law are used, a park they used to go play in Michigan, I believe, and in their childhood band after that. And that song, I heard it last year when I was at Doe Bay looking at these giant hills, and the song just made the view even more beautiful. So now I just associate with this happy place of sunshine and hills, and definitely a summer song for me, but also easily a year-round song as well.
Doe Bay on the San Juans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. Nice, I'm sorry. Image. On Orcas Island.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, this is guitarist Eva Walker with the Black Tones and host of Audio Oasis on KEXP. And we've got Jeff Ramsey here, Cafe Racer and Cafe Racer Radio. What about you, Jeff? Do you want to pick up on something local for us as we're listening to some summer music?
Yeah. Prom Queen has a new record coming out at the end of July. Some Britney Spears covers, and the best cover of Toxic I've ever heard, like truly such a unique take on it. But I chose a song called Pure Electrique, and it's Leni Ramadan, the singer, sings it all in French, and I totally get that, like, you're on the beach in the French Riviera kind of vibe from it. It's a great
That's Prom Queen. And Jeff, do you happen to know where we can see Prom Queen locally?
Or you know, I checked. I sent Leni a message this morning to find out if they had any shows coming up. I think they'll probably do something to go along with the July 30th release. But I know they'll be at Racer shortly after we open. So maybe you have to wait till the fall.
Yeah. What else are you thinking about? You want to play some more music? You want to... tell us more about summer 2021 or what you have going on?
Well, we're doing great. We're just super swamped with getting the venue ready and all the things that need to happen for that. It's going to be definitely feel more like a venue than the old sort of neighborhood joint that Cafe Racer was, but it'll still have that community center feel. And we feel like that's going to be a good fit in that neighborhood, be a good addition to that scene in Capitol Hill. But another thing I'm really digging is the Delvon Lamar organ trio. They're definitely a year-round band for me, but there's a track called Hole in One off the Okuso. Really,
let's listen a bit.
Driving.
Yeah. Delvon Lamar organ trio. Jeff, I forgot how much I like the organ in music, in upbeat music, you know?
Hey, yeah. Yeah, Delvin's got it going on.
Nice. Eva, you got another song for us?
Oh boy, yeah, I do. Let's see.
I got a bunch in front of me. If you're blanking, I could some of the ones that you sent.
You know, I know it's more like I have to narrow it down probably. Mm-hmm. let's do another local band. Why not? I really love this sibling rap duo. They go by New Track City. I love them. And they have this song called Pride.
Pride.
Great. That's guys.
I'll hit it.
Hey, hey, pride's gonna be the death of me. Hold up, wait, you know you gotta guard your energy. You can't match my pedigree, now you gotta pay a fee. This ain't free, what you need? Go, go, pride's gonna be the death of me. Hold up, wait, you know you gotta guard your energy. You can't match my pedigree, now you gotta pay a fee. This ain't free, what you need?
New Track City, what does that mean? Pride's gonna be the death of me. Do you know?
You know, I think it's left up to interpretation, you know, mm-hmm. and, yeah. You know, pride is one of the seven deadly sins, I have to say. So there's
yes,
that.
Indeed.
But
yes, indeed. I believe it goes before a fall. Yeah.
Sort of partial to gluttony.
I'm
big on
gluttony.
Sloth. Yeah, I'm also big on sloth.
Gluttony is my sin of choice.
Eva, where can we see you next? And I'm also curious just about how you're feeling about getting, you know, back into live music, you know, at least more and more. Yeah, what's that like for you? And then where can we see you next?
Well, I am glad to be performing again, doing all that stuff. A lot of our shows are outside of Seattle. We're going to be playing with the Posies, actually, in Bellingham. So if you're out in Bellingham, come hang out with us and them. And, you know, I'm on the radio every Saturday on KXP for Audio Oasis, which is the Northwest music show. And so you can come hang out with me on air. Then this Saturday, Marco Collins will be on for Pride, which, so check that out. But yeah, it's feeling good again, though. Last year was so, you know, it was a bit traumatizing, but I'm like, once I'm on the stage, I'll actually believe these shows are happening. It was just so scary and to have everything just close and end and canceling everything. So I feel optimistic for the first time in a while. but again, when I'm there with my guitar in hand, about to step up to the mic, then I'll know like, okay, the show's happening.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. I don't know where or when, but soon. Eva Walker with the Black Tones. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Eva Walker hosts Audio Oasis on KEXP, Video Bebop with her brother Cedric on Seattle Channel. Jeff Ramsey, any final words, Cafe Racer man?
See you September 10th.
Yeah. Capitol Hill, moving from U District Ravenna to a new location on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. We're excited to be open and excited to see the familiar faces and the new faces.
I'll see you there, Jeff Ramsey. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good, Bill. Thank you.
Cafe Racer Radio. Thanks for listening to some summer music with us. We're going to come back and barbecue if you'll just hang on. Keep it on our summer theme as we celebrate this season on today's show. We were just listening to some summer music with Eva Walker and Jeff Ramsey. And now it's time to talk some of the food of summer. Barbecue is our next topic, a staple of summer. Not as easy as it looks, though. You can't just put it on low and slow and assume it's going to come out well. So I talked back in 2019 to Jack Timmons of Jack's Barbecue about tips and tricks for great barbecue.
If you have a little grill in your backyard that's kind of rusty and it's hidden behind the lawnmower or something like that,
there you go.
You drag it out, you clean it, you get some charcoal for it. If it's a charcoal grill, which I prefer over the gas grills. Gas grills aren't bad, though.
Why do you prefer charcoal?
It has more flavor, you know, and it sears. If you're grilling steaks, it has a hotter temperature. Like the gas grills don't really get hot enough to sear a steak.
Okay.
I mean, you can do it over a longer period of time, but if it's a thinner steak, like a T-bone's an inch thick or something like that, they cook pretty quick.
Okay.
So the hotter the charcoal is better, and it does have flavor, more flavor. It is wood-based.
And what's the best setup to make the charcoal process as easy as possible so that you're actually going to get out there and use it.
Right. You want to get a fire starter. You want to get a little can that you put the charcoal in so you can cook it to get it close to white.
Yeah, one of those cylinders.
Yeah, those are really good. Yeah. And you can make one of those. Or you can pile up the charcoal in a way in the corner of the grill so that it kind of works that way.
Uh-huh.
But you want to cook them. You want to get them hot and ready before you put the meat on.
Okay.
You don't want them in the, you know, halfway in the process. You want them to be hot.
Yeah.
And a fun way to do it is to put a barrier between where the coals are and where they aren't. So you can do what I would call a reverse sear. If you have a big steak or a big piece of meat and you need to cook it more than just flash cook it a couple seconds on each side, mm-hmm. you can start to bake it, you know, on the side that doesn't have the coals over it.
On the cool side.
So where it's like 10 degrees away from where you want it to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Medium rare would be 125. So if it's at 115, when it's done, you can take that piece of meat off, let it cool down for a second, then put it right over the coals and sear it to get that nice brown, crispy yumminess.
But why do I want to do it in that order?
Well, the alternative is you flash cook it on the outside and then you bake it slowly until it gets the temp. You lose some of the crispiness. You know, it just sits there for a while and settles down.
Okay. Lighter fluid? Never? Sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, I don't use it. I crumple up paper and put it underneath the charcoal.
Okay.
And then light the paper and let that cook everything in there.
Yeah.
You don't need lighter fluid. It's certainly easier, but you can do it with paper, especially if you have one of those cylinders.
Let's talk about getting the meat ready. Where are you on marinades?
So for beef, you know, we just put salt and pepper on it because it has such a good flavor. If it's something like a cheap cut of ribs you got at the, you know, cash and carry kind of a place, you know, maybe you do want to put something on there to kind of add a little to it. Chicken.
Really? Because I thought, you know, if I'm going to have people over, then I should have put this thing in like Worcester and soy and olive oil and basil, and there's garlic in there, and there's, look at me.
Yeah.
There's hot peppers in there.
You're a chef.
But you just use salt and pepper.
Two ingredients, yeah. I mean, the meat, you know, when you get good meat, it tastes delicious.
How do you know you have good meat?
Well, we get meat that comes from a specific place, like Double R Ranch or St. Helens.
Where's that?
Or it's Eastern Washington.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful ranch in Eastern Washington. They supply like prime steaks to Metropolitan Grill and places like that. That's where we get all of our beef. But in most stores, you can see if they have something that's marked as like Angus or it's got the name of the ranch on it, or if you go to a little butcher like Bob's Meats in Columbia City, or even a good butcher like Metropolitan Market in West Seattle, they've got good cuts of meat versus the generic, you know, I don't want to say Safeway or somebody like that, but sometimes you'll see steaks.
You just did, by the way.
It says steak on it.
It's a steak. What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing, but you don't know where it came from. It could have come from the Midwest where they make a bajillion pounds of stuff like that, and there's nobody focused on flavor. It's basically size and tenderness. So they're worried about that. So, you know, how fast can we grow them, you know, shoot them up with growth and stuff like that.
Oh.
You get an all-natural steak that's grass-fed, and it can be grain-finished to fatten it up. But you get something that's local, it often tastes better.
Okay, so local, grass-fed, what else? These local ranches are focused on flavor how?
Well, they're not all focused on flavor, but they're focused on ingredients that have a higher probability of making that steak come out and taste better.
Okay.
Yeah. The tenderness comes by the amount of fat distributed through it. It's the grade. Is it choice or prime? And the lower grade is select. When you're buying steaks, you definitely want to get them that are at least choice.
Okay.
Where they've got a lot of dotted marbling in there through them.
Don't select, select.
Yeah.
Select is the one not to select.
The ones that are just bright red with no fat sprinkled through them are going to be a tougher cut. I mean, some meats are like that, like you use for fajitas and stuff.
Okay.
There's a really good book that I've read recently called Franklin Steak. Aaron Franklin is the most famous barbecue guy in Texas. He's in Austin. He just won a James Beard Award for barbecue. And he wrote a book on steak where he goes into detail on a lot of this stuff. And it's a really good read.
By the way, this is Jack Timmons from Jack's Barbecue, and you might hear a little twang. Are you from Texas?
Yes. I grew up in Dallas.
Yeah, that's like central Tech. Why are you laughing?
It's funny. My accent's gotten worse since I opened the barbecue restaurants because I'm talking to good old boys every day.
What? And good old boys are coming to Soto?
Good old gals and good old boys. Yeah, there's a lot of Southerners that live in Seattle, and they all like barbecue. It'd be like if you opened a salmon restaurant somewhere else in the country, people from Seattle would show up, right?
Got it, yeah.
So all these Southerners that like barbecue show up, and man, they're twanging away. So I think, you know, 10 years from now, I'll be like Boss Hogg.
What is Central Texas style barbecue?
So that's a good question. The area around Austin is Central Texas, and that was settled by Germans and Czechs in the 1800s. And they were butchers. They weren't barbecue guys. They opened up butcher shops, and they would smoke the cuts of meat that didn't sell quickly to make them last longer. So they didn't put sauce on anything. They just put salt and peppers on the meats. Turns out that's a good way to do it. And they did it using offset smokers. So they had a clean burning wood fire on one end and the meats at the other end of the brick oven eventually became steel tubes that we use today. But it turns out, and Nathan Mervold, the Microsoft
technology genius guy and cookbook writer.
He wrote the book, Modernist Cuisine, all about the science of cooking. And he has a whole chapter on smoking. And it turns out that the invisible gases coming off of clean burning wood is what has the flavor. The smoke you see is actually bitter and creosote, and it doesn't taste good. So we don't put the meat in the meat chamber until the smoke coming out of the chimney is clear like a heat wave.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
So that's...
I learned something.
That's for smoking.
What's creating the smoke?
The wood.
What kind of wood do you use?
We use mesquite and cherry or apple, but mostly mesquite. Mm-hmm. And all the hardwoods, you know, hickory, pecan, post oak, they're all good. And there's nothing wrong with the fruit woods either. They're local. They're easier to get, and they're sweeter. So people prefer fruit woods for chicken and fish and stuff like that. And they like the heavier flavored woods like mesquite for the big cuts of meat like brisket and pork shoulder.
I hope to be that specific someday about my my wood preference.
for the backyard guy, though, should I get Kingsford?
Yeah,
should I get, you know, some wood?
Right.
The Kingsford, actually, the briquettes are more efficient and they last longer. So if you're cooking a big piece of meat, some kind of pot roast or something that's going to go for 3 or 4 hours, they kind of make sense. If you're flash grilling like some nice steak, you're just going to cook them for a couple minutes on each side, then the wood charcoal actually is better. It has a little more flavor. You can do both. You can get charcoal, some wood chips, and just throw them on top of the charcoal, and that gives you some extra flavor too for those steaks.
Okay. And you are... you're all smoking at Jack's Barbecue, right? Everything's
right.
Slow, low and slow.
Right.
Yeah. First of all, how much meat are you buying from Washington?
We're supplying our three restaurants now, the Soto location plus South Lake Union and Columbia Tower and catering. So we do about 8,000 or 9,000 pounds of meat a week.
Please tell me that you have a big smoker in the Columbia Tower. No?
No.
That's only in your Soto joint.
You can't do that.
South
in
Lake
an office
Union.
Building.
No, you can't. Out in the parking lot, you got the Big Papa.
Yeah. That'd be fun on 4th Avenue, wouldn't it?
Okay, so you're smoking there, and you said, hey, I was curious how much, when I was picturing your all this meat you're buying is how much?
8,000 to 9,000 pounds a week.
8,000 pounds.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Okay, and you're smoking it all, and what meat should I smoke if, as I said at the beginning, if I only do this once or twice a year? It's 4th of July. I might screw this up. I'm frightened.
Yeah.
What should I be using?
For grilling or for smoking, you can't screw up sausage.
Okay.
And ribs are pretty easy.
Okay.
You know, you cook the ribs. If you've got a fire, it's nice to have them next to the fire and start right over the fire.
Mm-hmm.
What some people do is they grill them to get them brown, and they wrap them in foil and put them in the oven. And I'd prefer to cook them over that the wood the whole time or the charcoal. Just keep an area over in your smoker where it's not hot. Even for a gas grill, you can have one side that's hot and one side that isn't. Cook them till they're kind of done, and the non-hot side, and then just sear them for a couple minutes in the hot side to get them some crust.
Speaking of putting things in foil, again, this is Jack Timmons, Jack's Barbecue. What are some veggie options?
Oh, man, we smoke everything. We smoke. We actually smoke oranges and do a smoked orange old-fashioned cocktail. That's pretty yummy.
Smoked oranges.
We just cut them in half and put them in the smoker for a couple of hours.
So you're not trying to char them. It's low and slow with the oranges.
Right, yeah. Low and slow with the oranges. You could grill them, too, and that would get some color on them.
Yep.
We've done watermelon. You can grill watermelon. Mm-hmm. We mix that with goat cheese and mint. Makes a real nice salad.
Oh, that's
we've
good.
Done jicama in the past with cucumber and tomatoes. We smoked cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Put that out there is really good. Veggies, you can grill any veggies.
I like asparagus. To grill portobello mushrooms.
Portobello mushrooms are delicious. That's actually our vegetarian option when we do catering stuff. And we put them in the smoker and cook them. And then we toss them with salt and a berberry spice, which is an Ethiopian curry. Super delicious.
Wow. So good.
Yeah.
Portobello mushrooms. Corn, any corn advice?
Corn's perfect this time of year. And we do specials with that where we put it in the smoker. You can grill it even. It's just as good, if not better. And then we put...
Do I soak it in water first before I put it on the grill?
No. Just take it out of the stock, grill it. And then we do it the Mexican style. We put in mayonnaise with lime and chili powder.
You mean afterward?
Afterwards.
Yeah.
And you rub that on there, and then you serve it like that. And they're super delicious.
Yeah. Grilled black-eyed peas. Don't you serve those at
That's going to be tough. No, they're too small.
Oh, okay.
We do a Texas caviar, which is a chilled black-eyed pea salad with a bunch of peppers and other things chopped up into it. Oh. And that's the recipe for that is actually on our website at jacksbbq.com.
Mm-hmm. A coworker of mine says her dad barbecues Caesar salad. Is she lying?
I guess you could toast some bread out there on your smoker and make croutons out of it.
True. She says he'll put romaine lettuce. On the
Oh,
on
that's
the grill.
True. I've never done it with romaine. I've seen iceberg wedges.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Grilled iceberg.
Yeah.
Water.
Yeah, well, it's grilled water.
I don't know, like a favorite thing you're into or a recipe, a tip, an idea for 4th of July, Jack?
Well, for 4th of July, I would say get ribs, chicken, and sausage. For chicken, a trick that I learned at barbecue summer camp at Texas A&M is to put mayonnaise on it, and that keeps it moist.
Oh, mayonnaise.
You can do that when you smoke it, and I think you can do that when you grill it.
I've heard of buttermilk, too.
Yeah, yeah. We brine our chickens for 24 hours,
So
any kind of brine is going to make chicken better.
Hmm. Oh, that was Jack Timmons of Jack's Barbecue. That's what a restaurant food conversation sounds like pre-pandemic. We were talking back in 2019 about how to set up great barbecue here in the summertime. Jack Timmons of Jack's Barbecue on KUOW's The Record. And finally, our summer trifecta is about to be reading summer books. And we're going to take your phone call. Whether you want a recommendation or you have a recommendation, we're going to talk with the GM of Elliott Bay Book Company. And here's the number to call. We'll open the phones now, 206-543-KUOW. Again, 206-543-KUOW to talk summer reading. You want to know something? You want to share something? 206-543-5869. Call now. We'll be right back. Opening our phone lines, again, the number 206-543-KUOW, because we're going to talk summer books now. You know, for people whose world came to a standstill last spring in the pandemic, one of the ways you could stay sharp and have some fun was books. Booksellers call it a reading renaissance. Well, for Seattle's Elliott Bay Book Company, it was also time for some forced creativity. And their general manager, Tracy Taylor, is with us. Tracy, welcome to KUOW.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on.
Good to talk with you, and thank you for talking to listeners. Again, the phone number, 206-543-KUOW, again, 543-5869. Tracy, what did Elliott Bay Books do last spring when the city started shutting down?
Well, a whole lot of different things. We shut our doors in March, and a few of us started to figure out how to just do an online business in the store. We weren't sure, you know, we had been doing some online before, but we weren't sure what it would look like with our doors closed. And orders just began to pour in online. And, you know, there were five or six of us coming in daily and processing customer orders. for people who wanted books and couldn't get access to them, but largely for people who really wanted to support us and support independent bookstores in the community. It was amazing.
Yeah, and I did some curbside pickup with you as well.
Yeah, we started curbside pickup in May again when we were allowed to under the mandate, and that was at sort of the beginning of the protests up in Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm. You were right there.
So that was kind of interesting, right in the middle.
You're right by Cal Anderson, yeah.
Yes, right around the corner. So we watched all of that happen and unfold during the summer while we were operating curbside pickup.
What was that like for you and your business?
Well, you know, I think we were really supportive of the protests for George Floyd, and it was exciting to see the outpouring. And then as it changed and turned, there were times when it was frightening. Sometimes we had to leave early because there was tear gas. And, you know, it kind of became a little bit devastating and worrisome for the neighborhood as time went on. But people still came and picked up their curbside orders and continued to order online. And really what we saw was a huge, huge outpouring. We couldn't even keep up with it. Number of orders for books on race and anti-racism. Mm-hmm. And it was like nothing we've ever seen before. We felt like we were being rained on with book orders.
And
for people
some Seattle
wanted to read more.
Yeah, some Seattle writers were a big part of that. E.G. Omoluo, I bet you got a lot of orders for. Robin DiAngelo, Michael Bennett.
Hundreds and thousands of orders. It was a problem that we had to figure out how to process those orders because we're not Amazon. We're not designed to do online only. We are an in-person store. And so we had to pivot quickly. As did bookstores all over the country to figure out how to process those orders. And they weren't available. The publishers didn't print that many copies, and supplies were limited. And so it just became an industry challenge how to get those books in people's hands. And we figured it out.
Did that demand surprise you? I read that I think the American Booksellers Association said online sales were up 1,000% from the previous year. In a way, it could sound obvious. Well, yeah, there's a shutdown, so people are going to. But did it in any way surprise you, this so-called reading renaissance?
It did, and it really sort of validated, why we're here in the community and what we do in a way I think we were aware of, but it sort of solidified that we are a place in the community that people come to for comfort. They bring their visitors. People can come in alone, and they don't feel alone if they're wandering the shelves in the store. They just missed us, and we got messaged. We were messaged that daily in orders. People sent us quotes. They sent us just heartfelt messages about how much they missed us. Eventually, we had a puzzle designed of the bookstore, of the interior of the bookstore, and people just bought that left and right because they just really wanted a piece of the bookstore.
Well, we missed you, and we didn't know if you were going to make it. You know, you're the Elliott Bay Book Company. It was... How are you doing now? Should we still be worried about, independent bookstores in general? How are you doing?
I think that, we should always be worried about independent bookstores in general. But I also think that our customers put their money, where they wanted to, which was in independent stores throughout the city, and realized that they want those neighborhood businesses. So we're doing fine. There are some still unknowns. There were a lot of books that weren't published because the publishers didn't know what was going to happen. The future of bookselling still has some uncertainty. Many bookstores are operating in the red. We're kind of coming out okay. That PPP helped us a lot. But
that's the government.
People are coming in. They want to come into the store now.
Yeah. Let's take some phone calls here on KUOW's The Record. We're with the general manager of Seattle's Elliott Bay Book Company, Tracy Taylor, and we're talking about how they've done in the pandemic, independent bookstores and reading in general. And we're taking your calls. Let's do that at phone number 206-543-KUOW. It's 543-5869. And we've got Brian here from Bremerton. Brian, what do you want to ask or tell us about summer reading?
Well, I read a fantastic book that made me just laugh my head off, and it was a great antidote to this past year. It was called it's called Stingray Afternoons, and it's by Steve Rushin, R-U-S-H-I-N. And it is a memoir of growing up in the 1970s, and it takes place in mostly in the Minnesota area. But it's really about growing up in general. And there were so many funny anecdotes, so many funny cultural references that really resonated with me as a 51-year-old who grew up a lot in the 70s. And I just ate that book up. I recommend it for anybody who just a break.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
Stingray Afternoons by Steve Rush. And Tracy, do you know enough about that to, I don't know, recommend what else Brian might like or something nearby?
I do. That's really funny. I have not read that book, but it is on my nightstand for all of the reasons that you just said. But Brian, I would recommend to you for your next book, maybe Lost Continent by Bill Bryson. Mm-hmm. It's one of his earlier works. He is hilarious, and it's about traveling around in small town America, in middle America, and you just laugh out loud, sort of the same era that you're talking about, and just completely delightful, a good escapist book. And Bill Bryson is an amazing writer.
Yeah, he is, and funny too. I'm trying to interview him. I think he got sick of doing Zoom. I couldn't get him for his last book, but someday. Brian, thanks for telling us about Steve Rushin. Good to talk with you. And Tracy Taylor is taking your calls. I love that you can just, you know, chip in a recommendation. It's Julie on the phone from Seattle. Julie, what would you like to ask Tracy or share with us about summer reading?
Oh, hi, Bill and Tracy. Yes, I'm a big baseball fan, and I want to recommend two baseball books, both of them written by women, novels that came out last year. And one is The Cactus League by Emily Niemans, who grew up here in Seattle as a Mariners fan, going to the Kingdome, and has recently been editor of the Paris Review. So she's got great literary credentials, but she's a real baseball fan. And so I just loved her book. And then the last book that I got out of the library before it shut down last spring, and it was one of the peak picks, and I just walked in and saw it and said, oh, well, I haven't even heard of this. It's called The Resistors by Gish Jen. And it is basically a dystopian, not too long from now, America with baseball as our saving grace. So those are two books, The Cactus League and The Resistors, both written by women that I just love.
Great. Emily Niemans and Gish Jen, any reaction to that, Tracy?
I am not a big baseball reader. I am a huge Gish Jen fan, though, so I would recommend anything by her. And I love, Julie, that you've got baseball books by women. There aren't a lot of those out there, and thank you for recommending those, too.
Julie, good call.
Definitely.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, thank you.
You're
We're
welcome.
Opening
Thanks.
The phone line to you to talk about the pleasure of reading anytime, but particularly something about summertime. And we're at area code 206-543-KUOW. Again, 543-5869. And Karen is on the line from Seattle. Karen, what would you like to know or what would you like to share about summer reading?
Oh, I wanted to mention a book I just read in May when I got it hot off the press from my writing mentor, called Rooted, Life at the Crossroads of Science, Nature, and Spirit. And it's just an inspiring book to be outside. It was, you know, perfect timing, you know, with all I've been through last year. And I'm basically a hermit, so I've got my own little quarter acre park in my backyard. So I'm going through it a second time. I think I read it all at night the first time, and now I'm reading it outside in my own forest. And she talks about forest bathing and frog church and just amazing experiences that she had in nature. And she's a wonderful nature writer as it is, but this one was a personal, almost memoir type to me, knowing her a little bit. And it took me on a mind pilgrimage. So I really recommend it highly.
Yeah, I've interviewed Lyanda Linhaupt. We talked about Walking Barefoot, which I did after I read her book. So you can find that interview if you might like it on KUOW.org. We talked about, walking in. Yeah, being in the dark and all kinds of stuff. Tracy, any reaction? I don't know if you know Lyanda Linhaupt, but, Mozart Starling.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Yes. She's a wonderful writer, and Rooted is a brand new book that's been selling really well here. And I would recommend, if you've read that one and you're looking for something similar, perhaps Braiding Sweetgrass. That has been on our bestseller list for the last year and continues to sell well. And it's, sort of indigenous women about plants and nature and meditational, and it is beautiful too. So if you're looking for something else, I would recommend that as well. But Rooted is an exceptional recommendation. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Braiding Sweetgrass has been a blockbuster. Is it Robin Wall Kimmerer?
Yes, the writer? It is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen, for that call. We got about 3 minutes left. I want to take another call for Tracy from Tracy Taylor from Elliott Bay Books. Karen from Seattle, what would you like to share or find out about reading?
Oh, hi. Well, I had read all the 17 novels of Louise Erdrich and was sort of desperate for a next one. And I busted into her young adult fiction. And I don't know what's kept me from reading young adult fiction all this time, because I love the heroes to be 8 or 9 or 10 or 11. And she goes, there's 5 of them, and the beautiful families and kids are facing a pandemic and displacement. And also they go through season after season the way she orders it. So there's summer in all her books too, and then there's winter. So I can't stay away from young adult fiction now. Why did I ever stay away from young adult fiction? Because I thought I was a grown-up or something.
That is fantastic. I love when someone says, why did I just now discover whatever it is, Tracy?
Exactly. And yeah, young adult fiction is really, it's adult fiction on so many levels too. Mm-hmm. So, it gets labeled that way. And Louise Erdrich she's just a poet, right? Like, that's wonderful that you've read everything of hers. I've been reading, strangely, the Little House on the Prairie books again. So I've even gone back to a younger demographic in my reading and have just reveled in sort of that aloneness on the prairie and fending for themselves. And so, yes, I get that.
Yeah. Laura Ingalls Wilder books. What should we leave folks with? I'm about independent books and summer reading, maybe even positives that have come out of this terrible experience. I don't know, Tracy.
The positives are that we know that the bookstores are a place in the community and that people are hungry for reading and for connecting through books. There's nothing richer than that. And we've always known that, but I think that it just became really apparent. We have customers asking us all the time when we're going to, start our in-store reading series again, our in-person, because being in the room with somebody reading to you, there's nothing like that, and it too is missed. But books connect us to one another, and they clearly, based on last summer and all the orders for books on race and anti-racism, teach us about the larger world and connect us to one another.
Well, we love our independent bookstores here,
to
Third Place and Twice Sold and University Bookstore. And we love Elliott Bay Book Company, Queen Anne and Magus and Magnolias.
And
yes.
There's so many.
Secret Hated. Garden. Yeah. Tracy, it's a pleasure talking, reading with you today after all we've been through, especially Tracy Taylor from Elliott Bay Books. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks for getting into summer with us on The Record today. Produced by Jenny Cecil Moore, Alec Cowan, Brandy Fullwood, and Sarah Leibovitz. I'm Bill Radke, and we'll talk again tomorrow, and it'll still be summer.